Emotional Bites, talking about the things that no one talks about. And today we're tackling a topic that's simultaneously universally experienced and wildly misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine love.
Right.
Not the hearts and flowers rom-com kind of love, but the real deal. The kind that can last a lifetime, but is so often overshadowed by, I don't know, fleeting infatuation.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think it's fascinating how we're bombarded with all of these cultural narratives that romanticize these intense, almost obsessive feelings of limerence.
Mm-hmm.
And we often mistake that for genuine love. But, you know, the sources that we have here today really suggest that there's a whole other dimension to love that goes way beyond those initial fireworks.
You know, it's funny. I used to think that limerence was just a fancy word for having a major crush.
Right.
But these sources really dig into the psychology behind it.
Mm.
Like one study we have here found that limerence typically fades after 18 months.
Yeah.
While genuine love has the potential to deepen over decades. So what is the difference?
Well, one key difference is that genuine love is rooted in action. It's not just a feeling you passively experience. It's something you actively do.
Okay.
Think about kindness, generosity, respect, even sexual responsiveness.
The sources emphasize love as an attitude, a consistent orientation of care and respect towards another person.
Right.
I mean, it makes you wonder, can you really love someone
mm-hmm.
without consistently acting in ways that reflect that love?
That's a great question. And it leads us to this really interesting distinction that the sources make between, you know, genuine love and limerence.
Mm.
While both can involve intense feelings, limerence is often fueled by idealization and projection. You know, we put the other person on a pedestal. We see them through rose-colored glasses, often overlooking their flaws or even projecting qualities onto them that might not actually exist.
It's like we're creating this fantasy version of them in our minds and then falling in love with that fantasy.
Yeah.
Instead of the real person. No wonder those relationships tend to fizzle out.
Exactly.
It's like trying to build a house on a foundation of cotton candy. It's just not going to last.
Right. And the sources point out that limerence often stems from unmet needs and desires from our past.
Okay.
You know, we might be unconsciously seeking a partner who fulfills a particular role or fits a familiar pattern rather than choosing someone based on, you know, genuine compatibility and shared values.
But if genuine love isn't about this idealized fantasy,
mm-hmm.
how do we cultivate it?
Yeah.
What does it actually take to build a love that can last?
Well, the sources suggest that it starts with a deep understanding of ourselves and our own, you know, emotional baggage.
Okay.
We need to confront those self-limiting defenses, those inner voices that tell us we're not worthy of love or that we're going to get hurt.
Ugh, that inner critic. It's constantly trying to sabotage our happiness, whispering all these negative thoughts in our ear.
Right.
But the sources seem to suggest that we can actually learn to challenge those thoughts and develop a more loving and accepting relationship with ourselves.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that those critical inner voices are just thoughts, not facts.
Yeah.
And that we have the power to choose which thoughts we want to believe and which ones we want to let go of.
So it's like we need to become our own best friend, offering ourselves the same kindness and compassion that we would offer to someone we love.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that actually play out in our relationships? How do we go from self-love to genuine love with another person?
Mm. It's about developing a strong sense of self. Knowing your own needs and emotions separate from your partner's.
So it's not about becoming this perfectly matched two peas in a pod kind of couple.
Right.
But rather two whole individuals who choose to come together, respecting each other's boundaries and individuality.
Exactly. Imagine it like this. You and your partner are two distinct circles, partially overlapping,
okay,
but with clear boundaries.
Mm.
Differentiation is about maintaining those boundaries, allowing you to connect deeply without losing yourself in the relationship.
Okay, that visual really helps. But let's get real. How do we actually do that?
Yeah.
Especially when those lines can get so blurry. You know, like when your partner's having a bad day and their negativity starts to rub off on you.
Right.
How do you stay grounded in your own experience without becoming emotionally enmeshed?
So if your partner is having a bad day, you can offer support without taking on their negativity as your own. You can acknowledge their feelings without letting them dictate your own emotional state.
Right. So it's about being there for them without getting sucked into their emotional vortex. It's like being a supportive friend who can offer a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
But also knows how to maintain their own emotional equilibrium.
Precisely. When we can show up as our authentic selves without the need to please or merge with our partner, we create space for a deeper, more fulfilling connection.
That makes so much sense. It's like if you're constantly trying to mold yourself into what you think your partner wants, you're never really showing them your true self.
Right.
And then the relationship becomes this performance rather than a genuine exchange.
Exactly. And the sources highlight how this often ties back to that idea of the fantasy bond. We might unconsciously choose partners who fit a familiar pattern from our past.
Okay.
Even if that pattern isn't healthy or conducive to genuine love.
It's like we're attracted to a certain type.
Right.
Even if that type has repeatedly let us down in the past.
Right.
It's almost like we're addicted to the drama because it's safer than facing the unknown of true intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's easier to stay in our comfort zone, even if that comfort zone is filled with dysfunction and drama.
Mm.
But if we're not supposed to fall back on these familiar patterns, how do we know if we're genuinely connecting with someone or just projecting our own needs and desires onto them?
That's a great question. One way to differentiate between genuine connection and projection is to pay attention to how the relationship makes you feel. It's important to notice those feelings and to ask yourself why you're experiencing them. Are they rooted in something real about the relationship, or are they stemming from your own insecurities or past experiences?
Well, that's deep. But what if those feelings are a mix of both?
Yeah.
What if you're genuinely attracted to someone, but also noticing some red flags or patterns that are making you uneasy?
That's where things can get really tricky. And it's why the sources emphasize the importance of self-awareness and the ability to differentiate between your own needs and emotions and those of your partner.
So it's not about ignoring those red flags or pretending that they don't exist,
mm-hmm.
but rather about acknowledging them and trying to understand where they're coming from.
Mm.
Like, is this something I need to address within myself, or is it a legitimate concern about the compatibility of the relationship?
Exactly. And sometimes the answer might be both. It's about being honest with yourself about what you're feeling and what you need, while also being open to feedback and communication from your partner.
Okay. It sounds like building genuine love requires a lot of emotional intelligence and maturity. But how do we actually find someone who's on that same wavelength, who's also committed to doing the inner work and showing up authentically in the relationship?
Well, one of the sources had this powerful quote that really resonated with me. In a friendship, individuals act out of choice, whereas in a fantasy bond, they act out of obligation or attempt to manipulate the other person. This really highlights the difference between genuine connection and just trying to force something that isn't there.
Whoa, that's a mic drop moment right there.
Yeah. It's like true love is a choice, not a need. It's about two people coming together freely and willingly, not out of a sense of obligation or desperation.
Exactly. This choice is often based on a deep sense of alignment in values, goals, and life paths.
So it's not just about finding someone who's fun to be around or who checks off all the boxes on your dating profile.
Right.
But rather about finding someone who shares your vision for the future and who supports your journey of growth and evolution.
Precisely. And that kind of alignment takes time and effort to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
It requires open communication, a willingness to be vulnerable, and a commitment to working through challenges together. It's through navigating those challenges together that we deepen our connection and create a love that can truly withstand the test of time. All right, so we've established that genuine love requires a solid sense of self, clear boundaries, and a willingness to choose partners based on reality, not fantasy. But how does idealization fit into all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't a little bit of idealization, I don't know, normal, even healthy in a relationship?
In the early stages of a relationship, a bit of idealization can be exciting. It's that spark of attraction, the feeling that this person is special, maybe even perfect. It can fuel passion and create that initial sense of connection. But the sources caution that idealization can become problematic when it's based on projection rather than reality.
So it's like we're falling in love with an image we've created in our minds rather than the actual person standing in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't end well, right?
It rarely does. Idealization often stems from unmet needs and desires from our past. We might unconsciously project those needs onto our partner, hoping they'll fill a void that only we can fill.
So it's like we're expecting our partner to be our therapist, our best friend, our parent, all rolled into one.
Right.
Talk about pressure.
I know.
No wonder so many relationships end up feeling like suffocating.
Precisely. When those idealized expectations inevitably clash with reality, disappointment and disillusionment set in. The sources suggest that this can lead to a cycle of seeking out partners who fit a particular mold, only to be repeatedly let down when they fail to live up to our fantasies.
It's like we're stuck in a rom-com loop, chasing after that fairy tale ending, but never quite finding it.
Mm-hmm.
But if idealization is ultimately a recipe for disappointment, how do we shift our perspective and start seeing our partners and ourselves with more clarity and acceptance?
So the first step is to become aware of our own patterns of idealization.
Okay.
To ask ourselves, what qualities am I drawn to in a partner? What needs or desires am I hoping they'll fulfill? Where might those patterns be rooted in my past experiences? And is this idealized image based on reality or on a fantasy I've created in my mind?
And if it's a fantasy, are we willing to let it go? To embrace the messy, imperfect reality of genuine connection, even if it doesn't fit the fairy tale narrative we've been sold.
Exactly. And that's where the sources suggest that self-love plays a crucial role.
Okay.
The more we accept and embrace ourselves, flaws and all, the less we need to project idealized images onto others.
It's like that saying, you can't love someone else until you love yourself.
Right.
But it's more than just a cheesy quote. It's like a deep psychological truth.
Absolutely. As we cultivate self-love and acceptance, we become more capable of extending that same grace and understanding to our partners. We can see them as whole, complex individuals rather than trying to fit them into a predetermined mold.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. I feel like I've gained a whole new understanding of what it truly means to love and be loved.
It's been a pleasure exploring these concepts with you, and I hope our listener is feeling empowered to approach their own relationships with greater awareness, intention, and a healthy dose of self-love.
Absolutely. Keep asking those tough questions, and who knows? Maybe you'll come up with the next tagline that makes everyone want to hit subscribe. Okay, how about this one? Stay curious about happily ever after is just a cliche, and that real relationships are messy, complicated, but also kind of awesome.